So we're going to start this morning a series that we're calling Take It Easy. Just take it easy. Look at somebody close by and just go, take it easy. Now it really matters how you say that, you know? If you look at somebody and you go, take it easy, that can be very insulting. But if you look at somebody and you go, hey, just take it easy. Just relax. Just understand that God has got it. He's got it. He's in charge. Take a breath. Relax. Know that God is walking with you every step of the way. This morning, I hope that when we leave here, somebody goes, you know what? I really needed that from God's word this morning. That when they walk out of here today, they go, you know what? This area of my life is changed, is going to be changed, and I'm going to be free, and I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to learn to walk in freedom as I accept and receive God's word. I'm going to grow. So what I really want us to focus on this morning is unloading guilty feelings. Unloading the guilty feelings that come from our failures, the guilty feelings that come from us not being enough, the guilty feelings that come from our past, and it keeps us, those things keep us from taking it easy. Those things keep us from really enjoying our everyday life. Now, I want to start with this. Everybody that has ever taken a breath on planet Earth is guilty before God. Every one of us has messed up. Every one of us has lived in a state of guilt. We've broken God's commandments, and therefore we have lived with the result of sin. Now Romans 3:23 says this, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standards. Everybody in the room, I'm going to ask you one more time, look at somebody and go, you're a sinner. Some of you have been wanting to say that to him for a long time, haven't you? You're a sinner. So it says everyone has sinned. If you've sinned, you're a sinner. If you've committed a crime, you're a criminal. That's just the way it works. So we're all sinners, right? Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, or the payment to sinners is death. Death in different areas of our lives. Death in different facets of our being. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. It's kind of like, I'm going to reach way back. It's kind of like when Bubba came forward for prayer one Sunday morning. The pastor was going to pray for everybody that wanted to be prayed for that day. And the music's going, and Bubba leans in close to the pastor's ear, and he said, I need you to pray for my hearing. And the pastor immediately grabs Bubba by both ears and starts praying. Dear God, heal Bubba's ears. Dear God, open them just like you did. Way back in the New Testament, God just healed Bubba. He finishes praying. He leans over. He says, Bubba, how's your hearing? He said, it ain't till Tuesday. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. Now, when we recognize that, then we can start to say, what do I need to do? We've all sinned, and we're all guilty, and I'm guilty of my sins, and that means I'm liable for punishment. I owe a debt. I'm bound. I'm a debtor. I'm guilty. I owe a debt I cannot pay. The wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay for that. Now, here's the real problem. We owe a debt so big that we could never repay it. My sin debt is so big that I can't handle it on my own. That's why I need Christ. I could try and fix it on my own, but we're guilty and we're helpless to do anything about it. Romans 5:6-8 says this, when we were utterly helpless, I'm helpless. When I'm utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. He showed up just in time, died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Now, let's stop there. He's building his case right here in Romans. The Apostle Paul is building his case. He said, some people might die for an upright person, somebody who tries to do the right things, okay? And he said, and then some people might be willing to die for an especially good person. So you might die for somebody who deserves it, somebody who's been a servant to the community, who's loved people, who's been an example. You might die for an especially good person, but watch verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, Jesus died for the losers. Jesus died for the sinner. Jesus gave up his life. Now, the next verse tells us Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Romans 5 and 9 says this, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation or God's judgment. It's the blood of Jesus. He is the one who paid the debt that we could never pay. It was an insurmountable debt that we could never handle on our own. And so Jesus died for all the failures, the losers, the sinners. He died for all of us when we didn't deserve it. And his love is still extended to you and me today. But now how am I going to receive the forgiveness that he paid for? Forgiveness for a debt, right? If anybody has ever said to you, you owe them some money, and they said, you know what, I've been thinking about it, you don't owe me anything. You immediately go, oh, really? I've owed money before. And they go, no, 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 it's forgiven. All is forgiven. Imagine that times eternity. And Jesus said, look, I know you owe a debt, but I'm going to pay that debt in your place, and here's how you receive the payment for the debt. How do we receive his forgiveness? 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. But if we confess our sins to him, if I confess it, I can only confess it if I own it. Imagine that you were on trial for a crime and they say, if you're willing to confess the whole thing, you can be forgiven. You're not going to be punished for your failure. What would you do? You'd start singing like a little bird. You'd be telling everything. Oh, I did this and I did that. Just let me out of here. Right? If we know there is punishment when we don't confess, why wouldn't we confess? Of course we would confess. We confess that sin. And he is faithful and he's just to forgive us of all of our sins. So what happens when we are forgiven? We're building up here. What happens when we are forgiven? Psalm 103 and 12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. When I confess my sins, the Bible says he forgives us, right? When he does that, he removes my sin from me as far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far, but that's a long way. He removes it from us that we are no longer carrying that sin debt. We're no longer living life as a debtor. We're no longer owing that debt anymore because he's removed it from us. The next verse says this, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. If you remember when you confessed your sins to God the first time and you went, wow, I just feel better. I've heard people describe it as, I just feel lighter. I don't feel so heavy anymore. What joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Now, you may owe some credit card debt. You may owe some money on a car. You may owe money for a house. You may owe student loans, any number of ways we can owe money in America. We just come up with new ways all the time to owe people money. All right? Every time you have ever borrowed any money, what do they require? Put your name right here. Sign your name on this piece of paper or on this e-document. Sign it right here. We're going to hang on to this. And if you don't pay your debt, we are going to take this to the right people and they're coming for you. Now watch what he says. Verse 8, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. It would be as if you owed $1 million in credit card debt and you say, all right, I'm calling the credit card company to pay my debt and I'm ready to make my payment. And they say, we don't have any record of that. We don't have any paperwork. Are you sure you're calling the right company? And you wouldn't go, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I owe you $1 million. You should look harder. you'd be like, well, if you find it, let me know. We would want to unload that debt as quickly as we can. That's exactly what the Bible is saying God does with our sin. He unloads it. He removes the record. He burns it. Churches used to do these things called note burnings. If they owed money when they built a new building, they would work hard and they would pay it off. And then they have a special ceremony. They would go outside and they would hold up the paperwork, the promissory note, and they would say, it's paid in full. And they would light it and it would burn. And the note burning, it meant we're free from that debt. That's exactly what the Bible is telling us that God does for you and me. Now, that's a big deal, that my sins are gone. So we sinned and then we were forgiven. And then the debt was paid, and we're free. So we're free. We confessed our sin, and we're free. But here's what happens to some of us. Some of us confuse being guilty with feeling guilty. Some of us continue to walk in feelings of guilt long after God has burned the note, has paid off the debt. Long after we've been set free from our past, we continue to feel a little guilty. We remember what we used to do. We remember when we messed up. It kind of hangs on, and we try to get away from it, and it holds on to us. And we allow those feelings to guide our lives. We carry this load of guilty feelings. I can't take it easy if I'm overcome with guilty feelings everywhere I go. Now, the weight, it would be as if you were carrying a heavy weight that had you bent over. By the way, that's how I hurt my back. Don't do that stupid stuff. You're carrying something that you're not made to carry. When I was 20 years old, I would have picked that thing up, not even worried about it. I don't do that anymore. I've learned. You bend with your legs and you pick up and all that stuff. All right. So you're carrying a heavy weight. And God reaches down and pulls the weight off of your shoulders, moves it to the side, and you continue living your life like this. I know it's gone, but I just, it doesn't feel like it yet. It doesn't feel like I'm forgiven. I still feel like a sinner. Well, you are. We are. We've been redeemed, but we still have that sinful nature that we've got to continually deal with in our lives. But if we don't accept God's forgiveness, this load, although imaginary, is heavy. We continue to walk. It would be like you paying off that credit card and then saying to the credit card company, you know what? I just feel so guilty about borrowing all that money. I'm just going to, even after it's paid off, I'm going to keep making a payment, all right? I just feel bad about it. If it's all right, I'm just going to keep making a payment. Nobody would do that. If you're doing that, talk to Frank. He's got Financial Peace University going on right now. He can help you get free. Listen, when we are walking in forgiveness, we've been forgiven, but we're feeling guilty still about our past. It's like we're pushing a car with no motor. It's time to junk the car. You can say, oh, I own a car. No, you own half a car. It's time to let go of all that. It's like serving a prison sentence and saying, I was so bad, I'm just going to stay a little longer. I know I've served all the judge said, but, you know, just to punish myself, I'm just going to hang out here a little bit longer in jail. No, we wouldn't do that. But yet, when it comes to our Christian life, sometimes we are carrying the past into the future and wondering why we don't have any freedom. We're weighed down every day. So here's the question. How do I defeat the guilt? How do I defeat this guilty feeling? How do I forgive myself? Now, forgiveness, the definition I like to use it, forgiveness is when I give up my right to be angry with another person. When that person did me wrong, and I work through my feelings, and I realize they're a fellow sinner just like me, and they need Jesus too, and I give up my right to be angry with them, that means I'm starting to forgive. But some of us have never learned to stop being angry with ourselves. We're still angry with ourselves because of stuff happened way back there. I was terrible. I was a failure. I was a sinner. Oh, I was bad. And so we carry that. And we cower just a little bit under the weight of our past when God said, you've been forgiven. I've cleared the record. The debt is gone. Now, how do I start to live my life in forgiveness? How do I start to forgive myself? How do I learn to trust God with me? I can trust Him with you. But if I'm not trusting Him with my own life, I'm not fully trusting. So here's, I'm going to give you five things we can do to let go of the past and trust God's forgiveness and unload the weight of the past. And here's one. Now, this one's very practical. Make amends. All right? We used to say it this way. Just make it right. If you stole somebody's car, take it back. Just because you got away with it doesn't make it right. If you took somebody's money, pay it back. All right? Now, there's some caveats to this one. Don't go messing people's lives up just to make yourself feel better, okay? If it's going to cause somebody harm, don't go messing with them, all right? But when we can make things right, let's make it right. When we can pay it back, let's pay it back. Again, don't go messing up somebody's current situation to make yourself feel better. But go fix it. Make it right. Matthew 20, chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, okay, he's saying if you're worshiping and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, you did somebody wrong, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. He said, stop worship, leave it there for a minute, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Go make it right. If you chewed and cussed somebody out at work last week, you need to apologize. All right? You weren't just covering your territory. You got to represent Jesus the right way. So we make things right. So make amends where you can. All right, here's number two. Trust God more than you trust yourself. Now, here's a big one, all right? If you don't get anything else this morning, get this one. Sometimes we say things like this. We don't say it out loud because we know people will give us that cross-eyed look like, what are you saying? But we say things like this. I have to do everything. I just have to take care of everything. Everybody depends on me. And we've developed this overinflated sense of importance. And we just think, I can trust me. I just can't trust everybody else to do what they say. And so then we start to carry a load that we were not designed to carry. I've got to learn to trust God more than I trust me. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and He knows everything. Even when I feel guilty, I know that if I have confessed my sins before God, I am forgiven. I have to trust that God is going to do what He said He would do. One of the hardest leaps for most of us is to learn to trust God when we feel like we should be handling it ourselves. I want to talk to all the tough people, all the strong people right here for just a minute. Give it up. You ain't that strong. Let it go for a minute and trust God. Some of us have been carrying our past around for so long and we're like, I was so bad. I was so terrible. And I messed up yesterday and I'm just going to hold on to that and hold on to that. And we wonder why we're not moving forward in God. Let go of it. Quit trying to be so strong. The Apostle Paul said it this way. In our weakness, He's made strong. In my weakness is when God shows up in the biggest way. If I think that I can do this on my own and with my own ability, I never give God a chance to show up and do His work in my life. There are times when you have to say, I feel guilty, but I know I'm not. I feel it. Even when we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to trust me. All right, here's number three. Let go of the pride. This won't take long. Let go of the pride. Here's what we do. Some of us, we're proud of our sinner past. We say things like, God can't forgive me. I'm beyond grace. We say, you don't know what I've done. I'm the worst sinner you've ever seen. We're proud of that. Let go of that garbage. Some of us like to give all the hairy details about how terrible we were. You're like, oh, before I gave heart to Christ, I was a this and I was a that. And we kind of like bragging about how terrible we were. Listen, share your testimony. Share your testimony, but let go of the pride in the past. Let go of that. Quit feeling like God, you are beyond God's grace. You're not beyond God's grace. Jesus died on a cross. The most powerful force ever on earth is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. Accept it. Let go of that. Don't identify yourself back there in the past. Identify yourself with what God has for you right now. Stop letting your past identify you. You've been forgiven. You've been set free. I love the story of the little boy. This was in 1977. There's the big blackout that happened in New York in 1977. This little boy came home at the end of the day and the lights were all out from all these people and it was horrible. And he was feeling so guilty. And he told his parents later, he said, "I kicked a light pole and then everything went dark." This little boy thought that he kicked a light pole and put the lights out for New York. How many of us are living like that? We're kind of proud, like I was the worst of the worst of the worst. And God's like, "Yeah, but I've forgiven you. So stop bragging about it. Stop carrying the guilt." Here's number four. Give the same grace to yourself that you give to others. Give the same grace to yourself that you give to others. Ephesians 4:32. "Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Some of us are intent on sharing the grace of God with others, but we have yet to accept the grace of God for ourselves. But we're living all weighted down, bent over, still paying debts that have been cleared a long time ago. And I almost feel like God has to be like, "You just got to trust me. You just got to stand up. You just got to walk with me for a minute. And let me show you what I'm trying to do." We be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just like Jesus has done for us. If I would do that for somebody else, I've got to do that for me. Somebody, it's time to let go. It's time to see what God's going to do. It's time to share that same grace with yourself that you've shared with other people. You're not perfect. Here's a newsflash. You never will be. I'm never going to be perfect. I'll never get it all right. The Bible says don't go around sinning just because there's grace. God forbid that you take God's grace that lightly. Don't just go around acting like a devil and expecting God to forgive you later. No. Grow. But when you do fail, John says it this way. 1 John 2 says that when we fail, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's pleading our case. So here's the picture. God not only is your judge, he's your lawyer too. It's not you standing before God saying, I didn't mean to. It's God saying, "I got his back." Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." He's talking about all the people that were crucifying him. "Father, forgive them." He was pleading their case and they didn't even know it. Jesus is pleading your case. If you ever sat in a room and a lawyer said to you, "It's going to be a hard one to beat." And they're talking about you or your family member. It's a hard thing to handle. I ain't going to lie to you. It's a hard thing to handle when the lawyer says, I don't, there's just not really any justification. You were just dumb. You just made a lot of bad choices. I don't think I can fix this one for you." But what if your lawyer was your judge and he said, "You know what? I'm going to plead your case. I got your back. I'm pleading your case." When we accept God's grace and we accept God's forgiveness, he sets us in right standing with him. He removes all the debt. He moves us forward in our lives, which is number five. Focus on the future. Too many of us are trying to walk through life backwards. We're looking at the past, and we're trying to back our way into the future. Turn around and head to the future. God has something in store for you. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it." He said, "I have not arrived." This is the Apostle Paul. He said, "I have not figured it all out yet. I have not achieved it yet, but I focus on this one thing. Now, so let's stop there. He said, I focus on one thing. Some of us are trying to focus on too many things. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. He said, I'm turning my back on the past, and I'm heading into the future. I'm not going to live in the past. Now, the Apostle Paul was a sinner among sinners. He killed Christians for a living. That was his job. Let me go arrest Christians and tell people about it so we can take them and find them guilty and stone them. That was his job. I bet you've never killed a Christian on purpose yet. I bet that wasn't your job. And Apostle Paul said, look, I'm forgetting the past. I know I messed up. He had some stuff to overcome. He had to learn. He had to teach people, Christians, that they could love him and they could trust him. He had a lot of stuff to overcome. You may have to live down your past so that others can trust you and learn to love you, just like Paul did, but forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. God has something out there. Take it easy. Take a breath every now and then. Remind yourself that you are not what you used to be and you are not what you're going to be. I'm going to be better than I am right now. God loves me like I am, but he loves me too much to leave me like this. He has things in store. He places he wants to take me, things he wants me to accomplish, but I've got to stay in step with him. I can't stay chained up to my past. I got to move ahead. I'm going to close with this little story. It's really sort of a parable. It was three men, and each of them were carrying two bags. And somebody started asking them, what's in your bag? And one of them said, well, the bag on my back is all the good things in my life, like my family and my friends. That's all stuff in my bag in the back. But he said, then in the front, I carry all the bad things that I've ever done. And he said, every few steps, I stop and I look through, I pull it all out and I look at all the bad stuff I've done. I don't cover much ground because I'm busy looking at all the bad stuff in my front bag, but I don't want to get arrogant. And then the second one, he said, what's in your bags? And he said, well, in the back bag, it's all the bad things I've done. I don't carry the bad stuff in the back. I carry the good stuff in the front. I carry the bad back here, and I carry the good in the front. And he said, then it's really about all the good stuff I've done. I just want to, every few steps, I stop and look at all the good stuff I've done and how I've overcome my past and how I've done better lately. And he said, again, I don't cover much ground either, but I'm reminded of how good I am. And the third guy steps up and he said, what's in your bag? And he said, well, in the front bag, it's all the positive things that are happening in my life. He said, I don't have to stop and look at it because I'm already facing forward and I see the good stuff coming. And they said, well, what's in the back? He said, well, nothing's in the back. That's where I used to put the bad stuff, but I finally cut a hole in the bottom of that bag. And I just put it, I look at the bad stuff, I drop it in my bag, and I keep on going. He said, there's a lot of stuff behind me, you can tell, but I don't spend much time following or looking at that. I spend my time looking forward into the positive things that are on the way. I want to say to somebody this morning, it's time to cut a hole in the bag. It's time to cut a hole in the bag. It's time to let go. It might be your sins in the past. Cut a hole in the bag and let them go. It might be the things that just didn't work out for you. You had nothing to do with it, but you've been looking back in regret and feeling so terrible about it, and you can't relax and you can't take it easy. Because you're constantly turning around and looking at all the, I could have been a better parent. Oh, I could have saved more money. Oh, I shouldn't have been this person. Oh, I shouldn't have been that person. And you're living so much in the past that you can't see the positive stuff that God has for your future. Cut a hole in the bag this morning and get living. Get to living. It's an old line from an old movie. You might remember it. He said, get busy living or get busy dying. Get busy living or get busy dying. Why in the world, if I know the giver of all life, would I live my life in the death of the past? If I know the giver of my future, the life giver of my future, why would I live in my past? God is taking you on a journey. God knew that there were going to be speed bumps along the way. God knew you were going to fail from time to time. That's why he gave us this thing called forgiveness. That's why he's willing to say, you don't owe that debt anymore. Let's just erase that off the record. Because he has a future and he knows if we sit down in our past, we will never see all that he has for us. Cut a hole in the bag. Cut a hole in the bag. Let God do what he wants to do. Let God show up like he wants to show up. If you ever have an idea that, well, I'm not good enough to do that, that is not God telling you that. Because nobody's good enough. I've had people say to me, but you don't know what I've done. And I always try to respond, and you don't know what I've done. There, take that. This is about accepting God's forgiveness. It's about saying, Lord, I know you have something for me. I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to close with this last scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. Faith means I trust God, right? I've been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Now, this is important. This is important. He said, look, we've been made right with God through faith, by faith. And we have peace with God because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did. We have peace because of what Jesus did, not what we did. You will never find peace on your own. You're going to have to trust him and walk with him and grow and let God work and let God answer and let God show up. Cut a hole in the bag. Here we go. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I like to say it like this. It's as easy as A, B, C. You have to admit that you sin. You got to believe in Jesus and confess him as your Lord. You pray that prayer in your own way. That's as simple as it is. We start a journey with God by saying, Lord, I trust you. I give you my past. I'm ready to move forward. I know who you are. I need a Savior. I'm putting my faith in you. I'm going to start walking with you. So if that's you, I want you to pray that prayer in your own way this morning and let God show up and work in your life. Here's the second thing we're going to pray for right now. If it's time to let go of the past, let's cut a hole in the bag right here. You might still be mad at your ex from 20 years ago. Let it go. Let it go. If you find out that you get around certain people and all you want to do is talk bad about your ex, you have not let it go. And you're bringing that into the new relationship you're in right now. Let the past go. If you failed so long ago and it cost you dearly, you gotta let that go and trust that God is going to forgive us because of what Jesus did. If you had an opportunity that you squandered, let it go. Cut a hole in the bag. Give God some room to work this morning. God is so good at drawing new starting lines for us. But all that was, I wasted it. Maybe so, maybe so, maybe so. That's why we say, God, I confess and I'm ready to move forward. Maybe we did waste it, but who cares at this point? I can say, okay, I wasted that and I'm ready to move on, or I'm going to step over here and I'm going to continue wasting today and I'm going to waste tomorrow because I'm thinking about 5 years ago. Let it go. Let it go. Father, we thank you right now for your grace and your mercy. God, we know that your hand has been on us and you have loved us and cared for us and walked with us every step of the way. But Lord, sometimes we walk with this imaginary debt as if we still owe a debt when you've already paid it. And Lord, we don't move forward and we live in fear because we think we're not good enough or we might fail again or what if we let somebody down? Lord, help us this morning to cut a hole in the bag and move into the future that you have for us. Lord, we don't want to sit down looking at all the bad stuff. We don't want to sit down looking at all the good stuff that we've accomplished. We want to move forward trusting you and knowing that you have good things in store for us. You have plans for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. Lord, we receive that this morning. We thank you for what's coming, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Now, here's what's going to happen. If we're carrying our past, we're going to feel good about it right now. We're going to go, okay, I'm going to do something about this. And you're going to get to your car, and on the way home, and then later after the Cowboys win tonight, and you move on with life, you're going to go, he couldn't have been talking to me this morning. Those scriptures can't be for me. That's exactly when you need to believe those scriptures the most. It's when Satan is lying to you. He's trying to steal the promises of God. He's trying to say, that's not for you. That's not for your kind of people. That's for the good people. Let me tell you, let me let you in on a secret. There are no good people. We're just people. Don't let Satan steal the promises of God out of your life. Oh, let him have the sermon. Who cares what I said? Don't let him steal the promises of God from you. God has a plan. He has a future to prosper us, not to harm us. We got to trust him, and we got to walk with him. Amen? Let's give him one more hand clap of praise. Amen. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you for all your blessings on us. Help us to walk in freedom. Help us to take it easy and trust you when life is hard. We thank you. We honor you right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.